Father in heaven, thank you again tonight. Lord, we come here not only to worship in the sense of in the spirit and come to you with the songs that blesses our heart, but now we open the word of God, Lord, and we take communion just a moment to remind us what a blessed is. Our brother already prayed tonight to begin with. Here's a time we can come and be clean before thee, even if we do it right, as clean as the word of the day we got saved, because the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe seated. Take your Bible and turn to Mark with me just a moment. I love to try to look at a little something different, and yet all of this is the same when it comes to what we're doing here tonight. In Mark chapter 4, I want to look at verse 12 through 31, and I want to read some of this and kind of go over some of the other of it so we get kind of an idea of what's going on here at this particular time. And I want to just a couple of things tonight to give you, and it'll be something I think will bless your heart and help you understand a little bit more of what's going on here. Now, we know what the baptism is. We know what communion is. We know that here Jesus is fixing to go to Calvary and die. And look, if you will, in verse 12, and to give us a little different perspective. It's in the first day of the unleavened bread when they killed the Passover. The word kill sent for the sacrificial death of the Passover. His disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? Now, this day here set forth that every Jew did this and had been doing this ever since Exodus 12 when they brought them out of the land of Egypt. Now, this particular time, would you notice something about this? This is the day when the Passover lamb should be killed. And as far as we know, we see nowhere they did it here at this time. And it kind of puzzled me. Yet on the other hand, Jesus fulfilled the law, so we know the Passover lamb was given here. But you don't find anywhere they slay it. They said it that when they had killed the Passover, that it gave sacrifice of the Passover. And of course, when you think of that, somebody had to kill the lamb. And notice what happened, he said. And he sent it forth two of the disciples and said to them, go ye into the city, and there shall ye meet a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go, ye say ye to the good man of the house, the master builder, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared there, make ready for us. And disciples went and came to the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, all of this, again, they made ready. There are certain things they had to do. We know, since we've already studied weeks before Exodus 12, about what took place on the Passover night when Israel was going out of the land of Egypt. Now notice, and he said, in the evening cometh the 12. And as they sat down and eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say one to another, is it I? And another said, is it I? And if you notice, they were questioning things here about who this could be. They didn't understand it, that one of them sitting there, and he's talking about going to betray him. And then he said, he answered and said, it's one of the disciples, it's one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. And even when he said that, we see afterwards, it looked like they all known, it's got to be one of us. You may not know which one it is, but got to be one of us. But he goes on and he said, and the Son of Man indeed goeth as he's written of him. But they didn't get it. They didn't get it right then. They asked, who it is I? Is it I? And when he made this statement, they didn't get it. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good it were that he had never been born. And then we see the instructions of the Lord's Supper. Now, we see this given in Matthew 26. We see it given in Luke 22. 1 Corinthians 11 is personally generally read, and we'll read just a couple verses of that in a few minutes, where Paul was given by the Lord Jesus Christ and when he was over in Asia Minor about the Lord's Supper. But here he said, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them, and take, eat, this is my body. Now, here's where I want you to watch real carefully. Because here, if he said it, the Passover lamb, there are certain things that had to be done. I'll get into that in a few minutes by the head of the house. In this case, Christ was the head here, or the one who was in charge at the Passover meal. And in this particular case, when they should have been eating the lamb, and that's what God said do, here he passed out the bread. Nothing is mentioned other than the fact, make ready by the lamb. Sure, the lamb was there. Jesus fulfilled all the things of prophecy. But he didn't talk about the lamb being eaten here at this time to finish it up for Passover. He talked about he break bread. And he said something different. Now, here's a change that's going to be a blessing. Because now, for hundreds of years, even back since Exodus 12, for at least 1,500 years or more, the Passover had been done one way, And every time there was a lamb, and the Israelites did it, every time when it was done, until this time when it should have been they took the lamb and they eat and so forth. And they said they did eat the Passover, but the lamb is not mentioned the fact that they did eat, though we know that to fulfill what God said Christ and them did. But the reason I think the lamb was not mentioned here, and we'll see that in just a minute. And he said he took the cup, and then he gave thanks to it and said, that draw drinking. And he said to them, this is my beloved of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Then watch, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said, all you shall be offended to me this night, for it's written, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And after that I'm risen, I'll go before you into Galilee. But Peter, Peter, bless his heart, said unto him again. Now, he's already made some statements one time. The Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. But in this case, Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet not will not I. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, this day, that this day, even at this night, before the cock crows thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. For the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake more vehemently, and if I should die with thee, I'll not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, all of them said the same. Or they all said that. In other words, oh, Lord, wait a minute. Hey, I want you to know, it's not me. You're not going to see us leave you or forsake you, or we'll stand, we'll die for you. Now, this, what I want to call this understanding communion, another aspect of it. The Lord's Supper is a very powerful picture. We know this already, that God places in the Scripture to help us get our minds away or around, at least around, why Jesus had to die for our sins. And it gives us something that we can have a time of purity in our life when we do it as often as we do it. He don't tell us how many times to do it, but you do it often. And so we try to do it every day of the fifth Sunday. So I want to just look at the scene here in Mark 14 just a moment. Jesus had gathered his disciples together. Watch the scenario here. He gathered his disciples together in the upper room. Judas had left the building at this time on the way to betray him. And as Jesus was sitting around here in these verses with the remaining 11 disciples, he did something that was very difficult for us to understand and for the disciples to understand. Watch as he sits there. He did something that was very shocking, because instead of going through the different ways that they did for the Passover, and I'm sure Brother Dan can tell us about this, that the head person went through, and I think, these three or four cups that he did, something like that, brother. And they did that, but in this case, we know a cup was passed around. But in this case, when Jesus talked about anything, the first thing he said, he took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body that I've given for you. Take ye, eat of it, and also you do this, he said, you do in remembrance of me. Now watch, it's very shocking. It seems just as soon as Jesus had said these words, I believe that the disciples were astonished, because all of a sudden he broke tradition. He was not doing the Passover like it had been done for 1,500 years. Instead of doing it like they generally do it every year. And here's the thing. When you see the Passover, God said do it the same way all the time. If you look down, there are two things that God commanded his people to do at the Passover. One was he said, do this every year, and as often as you do it, you remember me, do in remembrance of me. And secondly, you do it exactly the same way every year. But wait a minute. Jesus comes, and as far as we can see of the record what he did not follow the suit. In fact, they went through the meal, went through the fellowship, and then he comes right down to the point of breaking the bread, and he said, this is my body. This cup, the drink, is my blood. And they never heard that before. And you think, by being there, if you could imagine what went on. Quick as he said these words, I believe the disciples were astonished, and they began to think like they did every time else he did say, what in the world is he talking about? As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, as I was saying this a few weeks ago, knowing communion was coming up, and began to look, by saying these words in verse 22 to 25, Jesus had broken over 1,000 years of tradition by completely rewriting the meaning and order of the Passover meals. If the Jewish leaders had been in that room that night, listen, they would have torn those clothes off half and started screaming at the top of their lungs, this is a heretic, blasphemy, because he changed the whole thing. Not like they'd done it for over 1,000 years. But they followed through. And so for us to understand this, we have to understand the order and the meaning of the original Passover. And we've been through that. I'm not going to go through that tonight. Just two things quickly. The original Passover lamb is a meal, and it's an annual meal that commemorates a defining moment of Israel's history. And you see in Exodus 12 where God got them ready, set a precise way how the lamb to be done, everything had to be done precisely. Blood be put on the doorpost when their finger came over, then he would pass over them. I want you to notice the Passover meal was to celebrate and be reminded of God releasing them from slavery in Egypt. The disciples did not get this really. I mean, that on this night, Jesus was about to walk to the cross and die for sins, and they could not understand it. There were two things I said that God commanded here, and that was this was to be done a certain way, and it was to be done every year exactly the same. Every time, and we'd had a couple times through the years back a year ago, when a brother came and set up the tabernacle he had here, and we went through the different things of communion and things that happened at the time, and he gave us some information about how the tabernacle worked and gave us some how the ordinance went by and so forth, if you remember that. It was a very enlightened thing. And so I understand and I see that Israel had been doing this for the first Passover until the night that Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. Now, in the past, the head of the household would stand up and walk his family through the different elements of the Passover. But not this night. This night was different than any Passover that had been kept before. And from here on out, there will not be any more Passovers as far as what God was doing. In the sense this, until except communion would come into the place rather than like the Passover. And he gave the church, Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, but he gave the church this ordinance to keep, and Jew and Gentile alike. So let's look at the Passover lamb then just a moment. The head of the household would, like I said, stand and serve the main course with sacrificial lamb. And the best part was when they ate the lamb, the head of the household stood and told the story of why they did what they did. Every year they'd go through this great story. So they learn it by heart, and children that came along would learn it. So how that this was a great thing that God did for them to deliver them out of slavery. And so note when it came time for God to pass judgment over sin, though. You go back now and we can see, we didn't understand to start with, back in Exodus 12, but now when Jesus has come, we understand that God, when he gave Israel that command, put that blood a certain way, kill that lamb, get a male lamb, put it aside, make sure there's no blemish in it, put it on the doorpost, and then he said, if you put the blood on the doorpost, when the death angels come, I'll pass over. But do you know this? The Egyptians could do it just as good as Israel could do it. When God went through the land in Egypt that night, he didn't say, well, that's an Egyptian house that got the blood. I'm not going to know. He said, when I see that blood, it doesn't matter where it was at. He said, I'll pass over you. And so we understand the Jews and Egyptians back then didn't have the death angel come to them if they had the blood applied at the appropriate place. And I believe now I see that more now than I did when we studied these years past as I look at this wonderful example. And so when Jesus came for God to pass judgment over sin, the Egyptians and the Israelites were all equally guilty. The people of God and the Egyptians were both sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God even today. So God's people were just as guilty as the Egyptians were, but when God gave Israel the instructions, God provided a way for his people to be saved from this death. If they would take the spotless lamb and put it where it should be and do it like God said do and put on the doorpost, then the death angel would pass over them. Now, it seems then that Jesus did not refer to the lamb here this particular night at the supper. Why? Because he is our Passover lamb. He had a right to bypass it. Hey, the time's going to change. All those lambs before could not do anything for anybody. It couldn't take away sin. But Jesus, the Passover lamb, not only is he going to be able to take away our sin, you know the story, don't it bless your heart? Again, because he's going to rise from the dead, send back to the Father, sit down at the right hand of the Father because the blood has been applied where it should be applied so we'd all go free. And so at this time, it's amazing. He hands the bread out and he has the cup out and he talks about him at this time. Jesus is once for all God's substitute. So now he has a right to change. Oh, they ate the lamb, I'm sure. But nothing mentioned to it in the sense like we know other than the fact the Passover lamb, there's got to be a sacrificial lamb. But when he gets involved with those around him, he's setting forth, this is my body. It's broken for you. This is my blood, and it's shed for you. And as often as you do this and pass it on down to the churches until Jesus comes again, you will remember what I did for you. You know what he said? You don't have to worry about the Old Testament Passover lamb. I'm him. John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Isn't it an amazing thing? Some people say, well, we ought to go back and try to live on the Old Testament law. I'm glad we don't. By the way, we ought to try to practice the Old Testament law because we're saved. Anybody could do it. Saved people ought to be able to do it better than anybody else. But at the same time, we come short. And so I love this as I study it. So God saves us through the blood of his Lamb. John 1:29, he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Romans 6:23, we've all, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16, God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, who believes in him should perish, have everlasting life. And in Mark 14:25, Jesus is going to renew our relationship with him in glory and drink that cup again in glory with his redeemed people. Because when we get to heaven, there's coming a day around the marriage supper of the Lamb. All the saints of God from the past is going to be there who've been born again. And we're going to sit, and he's going to not be, in my case tonight, I'll be the one that's this church. And the local churches have the pastor who does this as far as the communion is concerned. But what happens is here in that day, we'll sit there around the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be introduced to Jesus, to God the Father as the wife and as a bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will head up the communion at that time. And we will use the cup and honor him and show our appreciation to him and show our worship to him, that we thank God the blood was shed by him, not just a lamb that came from a sheep, but by him. And in turn, we have been justified, and he has delivered us just like he promised, because his blood did cleanse us from all our sin. We'll never get to heaven without that. So here's another aspect to help me understand. When Jesus sat down that night, and they began to talk about everything they talked about, and suddenly he stopped it all. He had time to sit down with them at Passover to spend his last few hours in that Passover service or meal that they had. But when he got in there to those disciples, he changed the whole thing at a certain point. And so the night, 2,000 years later, we come in obedience to what he says do as a body of believers here on the west side of Clayton Fellowship Baptist Church. And we say to God's people, if you know Christ as Savior, you should not miss communion unless you're providentially hindered. Because to do so, first, is to obey the Lord. And secondly, is to make us as pure as anyone could be, even when we got saved. Because the blood of Christ can do for us tonight, 1 John 1:9, just as much as it did for us the day that we did Romans 10:9-10 and received Christ as Savior. It cleanses us anytime it is applied to us. It's powerful blood, isn't it? And it's wonderful blood, Peter calls it. Marvelous, precious blood, because it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing we know this, it doesn't matter what a man, a woman may do, boy, a girl may do, if they're never washed in the blood. And when you say that, people say, man, what are you talking about? I don't understand this wash in the blood. You want to know the truth? We don't understand it all either. But not to understand don't mean we can't believe it. God is real to our heart and lets us say, ever how he did, he said he'd do it. And I believe the fact that he rose from the dead, he knew what he said he'd do. And because of his resurrection, we're justified. And so tonight we listen to what he has to say. We read the accounts that we had in the Gospels. And we see what Christ had said to Paul, that he told him in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And as we drink of that, and he tells us that we should do it worthily, and I'll just read a couple of verses to you, and then from there. It's a wonderful thing to understand that when Jesus came, he fulfilled the law, but at the same time, he set forth a new way, a living way, a eternal way, because he's who he is. And because he tells us this, Again, he took and said, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take this, my body is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I'd love to know what was going through the disciples' minds that night, because they just thought they'd keep the Passover. They're just going to keep the Passover. Wonder what would happen. Can't you not get a little feeling how they felt? I know, because sometimes God tells us to do things and we just don't do it. And we know we should, but we just don't do it, whatever reason. You can find Bible, we've given to you that God said for us to do it, but we just don't do it. And then sometimes we hear what God says he's going to do, and it disturbs us. Here's a case where he changed it to show why he did what he did. He knew if Israel couldn't do it the way God did her for those hundreds of years, then we couldn't do it in the church either. We need a Redeemer. We need a Savior. We need something to make us clean before him. And that means if you are saved, then you give to the Holy Spirit. And where the world mixes it up, they say you get saved, but they don't understand getting the Holy Spirit is that which keeps us in line. You're not going to have fellowship with God if we don't walk in the unity of God in the Spirit. And without fellowship with God, you're going to find yourself not having the things that God promises, because he walks with us when we walk with him in fellowship. But I'm so glad to know that my fellowship with him is different than my eternal life with him. Having eternal life is that he gave me called a birth. Fellowship gives me that wonderful opportunity to walk with him because we obey him. And he's the one who gives it, the author. Father in heaven, we thank you again tonight for this time. Lord, we never do anything without trying to explain it. And this is something we've been looking at for years, and we read the same verses a lot of times. But tonight, I thank you that you give us this ability to look at something that took place. And we look at Peter, and Lord, he certainly had a big, a strong heart, we believe, but he had a mouth too, that sometimes he just thought he had everything together. And the Lord shows us. And I think if anybody, if we look at Peter's life, if we say to anybody really loved the Lord other than John, and of course all disciples said, I believe, but other John seemed to love him the most as such. But if he really loved the Lord, he wouldn't have done this if he known it was wrong. He thought he was doing something that would be pleasing to God because he's willing to give his life for it. And though I die, Lord, I'm going to stand for you. And we see what he did. And I'm so glad that, God, you help us understand when we're birthed into the family of God, God's not just going to abandon us because we don't get it all right. Lord, everything we knew about you started when we got saved, and we've been learning ever since. And that means then, just because I don't know something and you say something, don't mean that I'm delivered. It don't mean that I'm not accountable for it. But I'm glad to know that I'm growing the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So tonight we come and obey you at this time and ask you to help us take it worthy for your glory. In Jesus' name.